Adam Pengelly, good morning to you, mate.
Morning, TK. Morning, Laurie.
When are you heading to Perth, mate?
Mate, I just arrived at the airport, Laurie, so I'm about to check in. And can't say I'm really looking forward to this flight. Flying 5 hours is a little bit further than I like to fly, but looking forward to getting over Perth for Origin.
Yeah, and are the teams, when do the teams fly? Are they on that flight?
Yeah, I'm on the same flight thing as the Blues. They leave at about 8:30 this morning. I think most of the Queensland guys, TK, started arriving in Perth over the course of the weekend. Just another little obstacle that New South Wales have to overcome. They had a lot of guys obviously playing in NRL games yesterday for the Roosters and the Dragons and Manly. I think most of the Queensland guys were done by Saturday night. So Kevy and the Queensland team started assembling in Perth over the course of the weekend, and Freddie's decided to take the Blues over as a squad first thing this morning.
What did you make of the non-selection of Latrell Mitchell?
Yeah, surprise, Laurie, surprise. I've heard your comments all morning, and I must admit, the rumblings were there. Let's be honest. The rumblings were there all throughout the week that he needed a big game on Sunday afternoon to shore up his spot, but I was still stunned when it came through that he hadn't been selected. Out of all these changes that Freddie's made, I could probably live with most of them. The ones in the centres are the ones that just baffled me a little bit. I thought Josh Morris was extremely hard done by. I thought he's one of New South Wales' better players in game one. And Freddie has spoken about the fact that he was disappointed with his edge defence up there at Suncorp Stadium. Well, he's chosen two guys to play in the centres this week that haven't played there for God knows how long. Jack Whiten plays at 5'8" for Canberra. Tommy Turbo's at the back for Manly. So two guys who do have experience in that position going to have to defend in a position they haven't played for a very long time, to me, was a bit of a strange decision. But having said that, you can't deny what they're both going to bring to the team in attack.
I can tell you what, you can't deny Destiny Kiss either. And Joe Pride, what a training performance. 6 years ago, Destiny's Kiss won the Winter Cup. Came out and won it again on the weekend.
How good, TK. 6 years. Can you believe that? No. 6 years after he won this race, he's come out and won it again as a... Well, he's going to be an 11-year-old in a matter of 5 or 6 weeks' time. It was a marvellous story there at Rosehill on the weekend. Clearly, the best story come out of what was a pretty good meeting, I thought, on the weekend. It was a tough day for punters. It must be said, a lot of those short price favourites getting rolled. And I think Kapajak saved a few people's bacon in the last. But I think a lot of the damage was done. But she's Destiny's Kiss. It's an amazing story, isn't it? Consider that Joe's done such a good job to keep him up for such a long period of time. Guys, I would love to see what Joe would do with some better bred horses. He's forged his reputation in the industry as being a trainer who can get the best out of tried horses and patch a horse back together and get them back to a level that they were previously at. But he doesn't get a lot of these bad horses. And even Joe made the comment after the race on the weekend there saying he'd love to get a couple of these imported stays that generally go to the Chris Wallers and these other high-profile stables. It'd be fascinating to see if Joe got a couple of better bred horses, some of these imports, to see what he could do with them in the future.
Have you ever been to Ipswich for the races?
No, I haven't, Laurie, but I heard it's a wild time of you. Have you been up there?
I've never been, but it looked a great atmosphere up there on Saturday.
It was half a construction zone, wasn't it, up there at the moment? They're doing a lot of work at Ipswich. They reckon it's one of the wildest days you'll get on an Australian racetrack all year. So maybe an outside broadcast there one year, guys. I'm not too sure.
Yeah,
but obviously, it was great to see Gay Waterhouse win her own race. I was a little bit surprised in the lead-up to the Gay Waterhouse Classic on the weekend that she had won race in the past. And Ready to Profit got the job done for her. There was a little bit of talk that she might head to the Cats Tiara in a fortnight's time. But I think Gay and Adrian are going to pull the smart rein and give her a spell and try and get ready for the spring and some of the big mares races as well.
Yeah. What about Gay Waterhouse? This was some sort of, this was a really strong win too, the last race up there at Ipswich.
Yeah, the stable's going well, TK, and obviously the writing was on the wall with Ready Profit when she won first up there at Scone, a couple of nice runs after that. Yeah, she got the business done and just continued Michael Carl's outstanding Winter Carnival. He won a couple of group ones with the Bostonian earlier in the winter up there in Brisbane. And he's won 5 or 6 stakes races already this Winter Carnival. He's a very underrated rider, Michael. And, yeah, he got the job done on the weekend there at Ipswich.
Hudson, getting ready for Royal Ascot. When's that, Tuesday?
Tuesday,
Wednesday morning.
Tuesday there, which is Wednesday morning, early our time, isn't it?
Yeah, Tuesday over there. I think it's about 12:40 a.m. It will be early Wednesday morning our time. So Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, I think the Kingstand Stakes is due to jump. She'd come up with Barrier 11, guys. That Kingstand Stakes, Karen McAvoy to ride. She's going to have a work cut out trying to beat horses like Batash and Blue Point. As we know, they're the top European sprinters over there. But she'll give a sight. I think she'll be obviously leading them up in the last couple hundred metres. Just that last 100 metres can be the real testing point for her, Hootson, if she can get up the hill there and stay out a strong 1,000 metres. We wish her all the best. And Toby Edmonds seems pretty confident, must be said, just reading some comments from over the course of the weekend, that she's going to run well over there.
Yeah, I think she's what, a 15? I think she's a $15 chance. And then Batash is the $3 favourite.
Well, it's probably the right place in the market for a TK, to be honest, isn't it, really? But the one thing that I will say is the performances in the past have proven that she always races better on the fresh side. So it's been a deliberate plan by Toby in the stable to get her over there, let her acclimatise, and just wind her up and let her go whoosh first up over there at Royal Ascot. So hopefully he can get a result. She can run top three or four. I think it'd be a massive achievement for Toby and the team.
And some more bad news for Ben Curry, has there been?
Yeah, Friday afternoon, Laurie, late Friday, the news came through. Another 3 years have been added on to Ben Curry's suspension at the moment. So he's looking at seven and a half years at the moment. He's still got heaps of charges that haven't been heard yet. Obviously, Ben's going to lodge appeals and ask for a review process of those hearings. Another 3 years added to his suspension last Friday afternoon.
All right, you enjoy that five-hour trip to Perth.
Yes, I shall, TK. I might try and speak in the morning. I've got no idea what time will be over there Perth time, but I'll get up and pick up the phone.